Morning. It's good to see you all. Just want to get one thing clear before we get started. I am not Johnny Cash, okay? I know I'm wearing all black in that, but I am not Johnny Cash, I assure you that. In case those of you are wondering, is Johnny Cash speaking today? No, he's not a special guest speaker today. It's always a privilege whenever I have the opportunity to share the Word of God. I always count it as a great blessing, a great opportunity. And this morning we're going to share on a recipe for blessing. How many of you like being blessed? How many of you want a blessing? How many of you want to be a blessing? Well, see, the message today considers both parts, not only receiving a blessing, but being a blessing. And there's a recipe that's listed here in the Bible, or a prescription, if you will, for you pharmacists. There's a prescription for a blessing. And as we get started this morning, let's open up with prayer. We're going to be looking, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. A recipe for blessing. Father, we're so grateful this morning that you love us so deeply. So greatly. We thank you for the Word of God that you've given us, your very Word spoken to us as we sang about this morning, that counsels us, that comforts us, that instructs us, that directs us, that corrects us. And Lord, we pray this morning as we open up your Word that you would speak to the individual area of our life, Lord, that we are dealing with. Speak to us individually and corporately. Lord, minister to the very area that we have need of this very morning, Father God, that we might not only receive a blessing, but that we might become a blessing. For Lord, what this world needs now, Lord God, is not destroyers, but builders, edifiers, and not those to tear down, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that you would take our lives and that you would use us, Lord, to be those who will be a blessing to those around us and to this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. I stood on the street of a busy town, watching men tearing a building down. With a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and a sidewall fell. I asked the foreman of the crew, "Are those men as skilled as those you'd hire if you wanted to build?" "Ah, no," he said, "no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can tear down as much in a day or two as would take a skilled man a year to do." And then I thought as I went my way, just which of these two roles am I trying to play? Have I walked life's road with care, measuring each deed with rule and square? Or am I one of those who roam the town, content with the labor of tearing down? In this world, there are two types of people. There are the builders, and there are the destroyers. There are those who edify, and there are those who tear down. Although it's easier to be a destroyer because it takes less time, less effort, less energy, God desires that each of us become builders, that we edify, that we build up, not only each other, but that we build up the church, and that we reflect the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world around us. There comes a choice that each of us has to make as God's children. And Peter here is going to begin to tell us, after having spent the first portion of the scriptures in 1 Peter, he speaks of our responsibility in our relationships to one another. He speaks of our submission, our responsibility in submission to one another. And then he gets to the very crux of the matter. The crux of the matter being that our very lives, the way we walk, the words we use, the wants we have, affect and either build up or tear down the people around us. You know, there's a saying that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Though I like this that I came across that Roy Zuck wrote. He says, "Though sticks and stones inflict great pain, their hurt will fade away, But just one sharp and biting word brings harm that comes to stay. How many of you know that in our mouth is one of the deadliest weapons that man possesses? For with our tongues, James says, we can either hurt, we can poison, or we can bless. With our tongues, we bless God and we curse men who are created in the image of God. And some of the things that are in this recipe today that we're going to be looking at are going to deal with guarding our walk, guarding our words, guarding our wants. The three things that will develop and either cause us to receive a blessing and to be a blessing or to be a curse. Have you ever been around an individual that you could hardly wait till they leave because all they do is just gripe and complain and bring you down? And the moment they leave, oh man, you're so relieved. And just the thought, you see them coming down the road and what's the first thought you have is, man, where can I hide? When you walk in a room, what do people say about you? What do they think about you? Here comes that griper, that murmurer, that complainer, that one that's always tearing down, that gossiper. Or do they say, here comes someone who is always blessing, who is always edifying, who is always encouraging, who is lifting up? You see, God's given us a recipe to be a blessing and to receive a blessing. Let's open up the Word of God here. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Notice he says that not only are we called to be a blessing, but we're called to inherit a blessing. And the blessing that we're called to inherit, you and I as the children of God, is eternal life. The blessing that we have inherited, it's already ours in Christ Jesus, is eternal life. But while we're here on this world, in this planet, we're to be reflections of His love. We're to be reflections of His grace. You see, God didn't bless us so that we could go sit somewhere and enjoy the blessing. God blessed us so that we could be a blessing. God did not demonstrate His grace to us simply for grace sake, but so that we could be gracious unto others around us also. You see, this life is all about relationships. How many of you know that? There's business relationships. There's friendship type relationships. There's marriage relationships. There's parent-children relationships. There's relationships that cross all boundaries, all ethnicities, all forms and manner of differences in society, but we are called into this life as God's children to make a difference in those relationships. Now, there was some that would say, well, Steve, this doesn't sound like it's going to be a very gracious message. Don't we have grace? Well, yes, we have grace. But how many of you truly want to live a long and good life? How many of you truly want your life to be blessed? Well, the Bible here is talking about that. He's saying the way to blessing, number one, is, he says, let him turn or refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The first ingredient in the recipe is to guard your words. Let them be constructive, not destructive. And then he says, let them refrain from lying. Let them be words that are not deceitful, but truthful. One of the worst things in the world is when someone you love tries to deceive you and you find out about it. It cuts. It hurts. I'm sure many of you have been there on that side. And if you haven't, well, as long as you're living in this world, there's going to come a time when you will face that. Do not let your words be destructive, he's saying. In the New Living Translation, Paul writes in Ephesus, he writes, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." In another place, he writes, "Let your speech at all times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may never be at a loss to know how you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you." What we say affects and impacts the people around us. How many of you know that our words are not just simply words? Well, it's just simply a word. Our words contain messages, and our words can be sharp, or our words can be comforting, soothing. In the Proverbs it says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. When there's an argument ensuing, the worst thing to do is to continue to come up with more arguments. The best thing to do is to give a soft answer and diffuse the whole situation. Think back. Have you ever been told words that were hurtful? Words that were scornful? Words that were sharp? Words that cut? Words that hurt? And those words to this very day resound in your head, oftentimes or not. Somebody else will come along and say similar type words, and all of a sudden the repercussions of the words that were spoken in time past begin to vibrate through your mind and through your heart, and it brings back memories. Words are important, people, God. And you and I as God's children have been called to a different form of talking, a different form of speech than what we previously spoke in the times past. Before, we used to speak foul language, foul mouth, abusively. Now we're not called to speak as such. Now we're called to speak lovingly, compassionately, caringly. We're to minister the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Destructive words. Gossip. Talking about so-and-so. Or you heard this about brother so-and-so. Or you heard this about sister so-and-so. And never going and finding out the facts, but simply going behind their backs and being a tale-bearer. And the Word of God says that's destructive. I'm 44 years old, and in my life as a believer from a young age, 11 years old, I've been in many churches and I've seen many church splits caused by gossip. I've seen many families, many homes destroyed caused by gossip. I've seen many men's careers destroyed caused by gossip. You see, you and I as God's children are instructed not to be destructive. Not to be destroyers, but to be builders. We're to come to the aid of our brothers and sisters. And if there's gossip going on, then the best thing to do is to be let it be established in the sight of two or three witnesses. Don't just take the word of the person that's speaking it for the sake of the fact that the person's saying it. It grieves God's heart when His children spend their time biting and devouring one another. Because He hasn't called us to bite and devour one another. He has called us to love one another. He has called us to bless one another. He goes on to say in Isaiah, the Word of God says, "The servant of God, says the Lord God, has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught." If we're being taught of the Lord, then we should be learning how to speak as the Lord would have us to speak. See, I go to work in a 40-hour a week job, 40 hours plus, depending on what the work week's like. And I'm surrounded by gossip, and I'm surrounded by murmuring, and I'm surrounded by complaining. And my inclination is to get involved in it all because everyone else is doing it. So if I want to be a part, maybe I should get involved. But then I'm reminded of the words of our Lord that says that I am called to come out from among them. I'm called to be different. You're called to be different. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. You see, this morning we're not called to be anything but the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Building with that which He has already manufactured. We are not the manufacturers, but we are simply the distributors of that which God has already manufactured. Of that which God has already supplied. You know, one thing I notice about human nature is when husbands and wives fight, I've been around a lot of husbands and wives. I'm single. I thank God for my singleness. Especially at times like I've seen before. But they tend to go into this file cabinet of all the past hurts, all the past things, all the past things that have been done. And they begin to pull up all this stuff and they begin to try to hurt each other with their words. Well, if you weren't such a jerk, I'm a jerk, if you wouldn't be such a harpy, you old nag, and on it goes. And those words hurt. And those words cut. But see, we're called to be different. Take this as an exhortation. Take it as an encouragement. Or take it as a correction. Whichever way you need to receive this message this morning, take it as such as from the Lord and allow your life to be transformed. You see, there's some marriages that need to be healed and there's some words that need to be stopped and there's some gossip that needs to be stopped and there's backbiting and bickering that needs to be stopped. It's time that we begin to act like the children of God. It's time that we begin to blend together the ingredients so that we can have a blessing and so that we can be a blessing and so that the world around us can see the blessing of God in our lives and desire the life of God that we have. Then he goes on to say, not only the things that you're saying, don't let them be destructive. Don't let them be hurtful, counterproductive. He says, don't let them be deceitful, but truthful. We're commanded to speak the truth in love to one another. It doesn't say just speak the truth. It says speak the truth in love to one another. Most men are willing to stand up to the plate when somebody has offended their family or something. Well, I'll go give them a piece of my mind. Well, be careful. You give up too much of your mind, you won't have anything left. I know that's true for me. So I got to be real careful because I don't have that much left. Or that much that I use. Statistically, we only use 10% of our brain power, according to what scientists say. Can't afford to give too much of it away. So we're to speak the truth in love to one another. Because we all belong to each other, the Bible says. We're all part of the same body. Not with flattery. Not with deceptiveness to trying to gain an advantage. Well, I'll be nice to that businessman over there because he's got lots of money. And maybe he might make a bigger donation to my cause, to my ministry. No. We're to speak the truth to one another. We're to be honest with one another, but in love. You see, it has been said that love without truth is hypocrisy. Truth without love is brutality. We need a balance of the two to move on to maturity. We need a balance of love with truth. Not the hemming and the hawing. Not the flattery. But the truthfulness. Because we love each other. And when you love someone, you're willing to speak up because you do love them. If you see someone headed in the right direction, you want to encourage them. But if you see them headed in the wrong direction, you want to speak up. You don't want harm to befall them. You don't want harm to come to them. You want to stop them from heading in that direction that's going to be destructive for their lives. So you speak the truth in love. Many a relationship could be healed and mended if we would just begin to speak the truth in love and refrain from using destructive and harmful words with one another. The world is filled with that type of people already, the destroyers. Let's not be destroyers. Let's decide and determine today that we're going to be builders, edifiers of the body in Christ. Building and edifying ourselves in love, the love of God. Let us decide today that we're not going to be those who simply because everyone else around us is backbiting and murmuring and complaining, that we're not going to be like that. That we're going to be those who are blessing, who are being gracious, who are being loving, who are being compassionate, who are being kind, and we are being a blessing. Rather than part of the problem, we're a part of the solution. And then not only that, truthful talk, not deceitful talk. When we sing, "I love the Lord," then do you go out and act like you love the Lord? Do I go out and act like I love the Lord? Or when the world looks at me, does the world look and say, "This is what loving the Lord is all about"? Well, I do that. I don't need to go to church. As a matter of fact, I had one time when I lived in Albuquerque, I was sharing the gospel with someone at work. And this person said, "You know what?" He said, "I see some of those so-called believers, they claim to be believers. They're at the same parties I'm at. They're at the same nightclubs I'm at. They're talking the same language I am at. They're drinking the same drinks I'm drinking. They're cursing the same way I'm cursing. So I guess I'm already a Christian because I'm doing just what they are already doing." Is there a difference in that? Is that being light? Is that being salt? No, brothers, it's not. Part of being truthful, part of the speaking the truth in love, is to be living the truth in love. See, our walk has to match our talk. And that's the second ingredient he talks about, is guarding our walk. He says, "Let him turn away from evil and do good." The word "turn away from" quite literally means to change directions. We get the word "repent" from that. Let him repent. Let him change the direction that his life is going. If he's moving in the wrong direction, let him turn and go the right direction. Let him go in the direction that is headed in the right pathway, the right way, upward, onward, towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You and I have been called to a high calling. You and I have been summoned to a higher way of living, to a higher walk. Not a better walk, but a higher walk. Christians aren't better than other people. We're simply headed in a different direction than other people. And it's easy to get off the path. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that we've been called to a certain type of walk. That we as the children of God have been called to walk differently than we used to walk. We've been called differently for a reason. Because we are different. If Christ is in us, we are different. We're no longer the same creation that we used to be, but we're a new creation. "For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become brand new. And God has given unto us the message of reconciliation." So we're to walk. And the Bible gives us plenty of encouragement on how we're to walk. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, we're to walk worthily of the call wherewith we have been called. That means we're to walk in accordance with what we proclaim to be. If we claim to be Christians, then let's walk like Christians. Let's live like Christians. Let's talk like Christians. Let's act like Christians. I remember one time, Calvary in Albuquerque, we were coming out of church. It was on a Sunday, and between services, they have big old major traffic jam. Someday we're going to have that problem here where we're going to have major traffic jams in the parking lot because it's going to expand and grow. God's building His church. But I remember one time leaving, and I guess there was these two cars trying to get out of the parking lot at the same time. One guy rolled down his window, gave him a symbol with his hand and not a nice one, and gave him a few expletives. And this is leaving the church parking lot after hearing the message on the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ. I was thinking, wow, It happens. We're human. We're tempted. Someone cuts you off on the road, the first thing you want to, you get tempted. The Lord needs to sanctify me when I'm driving because I have a problem sometimes with the people here in El Paso that don't know how to drive. I'm from Albuquerque where we do know how to drive. I gather there's a few of you from Albuquerque, huh? But think about it. The reality is we live in a fallen world, and the temptation, the inclination, is to do that which kind of comes normally, which takes little effort, which takes little time, which takes little patience, and that's to be a destroyer rather than being a builder, which takes time, it takes planning, it takes effort. Why? Look at how long it took for this building to come about. Pastor Terry started speaking of this building 4 years ago. I remember we had just moved here from Albuquerque. We had started coming to church here in the tent. And I was hearing about the building project. And a year passed by, and 2 years passed by, and 3 years passed by. And I'm like, going, boy, this building is sure coming down here slowly. Is it being shipped across the ocean on a slow liner from China, or where is it coming from? But here we are finally in a building. It took patience for this edifice to be built. We get the word edify, edifice, building, building up. It took a while. Then we saw the frame go up, and we saw the cement slab, and then the frame, and then it seemed like the frame was taking forever, and then it seemed like the drywall was taking forever, and then it seemed like this was taking forever. And little by little, the building came into shape, it came into form, and this building has become a blessing, has it not? And that's how our lives are to be, blessings. And we're to be builders, not destroyers. And our walk affects people around us. Did you know your walk affects people around you? Your kids are more inclined to watch what you do than what you say. You can tell them you love the Lord, but they're watching. Does mommy and daddy really love the Lord? Are they living as believers? How do they treat one another? How does mom and dad treat one another? How do they treat the people around them? How do they talk about the minister when we're away from church? Why, so-and-so is so long-winded, he could blow a ship from here to Hawaii. I'm sure that's been said about me a few times. That's all right. But think about it. How we talk about others in the home, your kids are watching. They're listening. What you say about others is going to be reflected. And let me tell you something. You might as well get a tape recorder and send it to the people you don't want to know about it. Because when you start talking around little kids, they're like a little tape recorder. They're going to come and say, Mama said this and Daddy said this. Why, anything we want to know about what's going on at my brother's house, we just ask my little niece and nephew. It's like pushing the start button and we know everything. It's amazing. Some of the things you find out of the mouth of babes. And yet we're called to be innocent as children, to be childlike but not childish in our speech and in our walks. You see, God hasn't called us to childishness, but to childlikeness, being children like Him. You see, God loves us so much that He's given us a recipe. He says, watch your words, guard your words. He says, guard your walk. And then He says, not only should you guard your walk, but then you need to guard your desires, your wants. And that's referred to or alluded to right here. It says, let him seek or desire peace and pursue it. We're to desire peace. We're to pursue it. Our desires need to be different than what they were before. The desire before you came to Christ used to probably be for the next party, for the next good time. Your desire was for other things. Your desire was for great wealth and great riches. But above great wealth and riches is the greatest wealth and riches of all, which is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and having peace with God. And there's no other peace that you can find with God except through a relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself on the cross for us, by dying on the cross for us, by becoming a sacrifice for us, by raising from the dead for us, so that we could have an entrance into the holy presence of the living God and become His very children. Our desires need to change. If we're children of God, we should have different desires than we used to have. Our desire now should be for the sincere word of the milk of God's word. The sincere milk of God's word. Our desire should be for peace. Paul writes that, let you do as all that you can to be at peace with those around you, in so much as lies within you. How many of you want to have peace in your life? Isn't that the cry of humanity out there? Peace, peace, give us peace. Oh, we want peace. World peace. The bumper stickers, pray for world peace. People are dying and crying out for peace. There's so much turmoil in this world. There's so much stress. There's so much pressure. There's so much anguish. There's so much heartache. There's so much pain in this world. And humanity is crying out for peace. And the only place that true peace is found is in a relationship with the living God who gave Himself for us. True peace is found in the Prince of Peace Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and nowhere else. If you're here this morning and you do not have peace in your life, you can have peace in Jesus. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. But the desires have to change. Your desire has to be for peace. And notice it doesn't say only let your desire be for peace, but it says you have to run after peace, because peace is kind of trying to elude us at all times. We have to run after it. We have to pursue after it. When you want something badly enough, you pull out all the stops to get to it, don't you? Well, the same is that if you desire a relationship with God, He desires a relationship with you. And what you need to do is to pursue after Him, because He's already pursuing after you. And what happens when two people are running towards each other? They run into each other. They find each other. But He says, let your desires change. To be a blessing, to inherit a blessing, requires that you have the right desires. Now, I'm not saying don't desire to go out there and make a living. Don't desire to have a nice home. Don't desire to have those types of things. But I'm saying your ultimate and your most highest desire of your life should be for peace with God, peace with your fellow man, so that you can be at peace with yourself, having a clear and a clean conscience. The softest pillow is a clear conscience. You can lay it down on a rock and sleep peacefully if you have a clear conscience. But if you have a conscience that is all cluttered and all guilty and all polluted, you can lie down on the softest pillow made known to man. One of those pillows that's made out of that foam that NASA invented, and that's still not going to give you a good night's rest. It's still not going to give you peace in your heart. The only peace you're going to find is in having your conscience cleared, not seared, by the inworking of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the washing of the renewing of your mind, by the water of the Word of God. And by allowing God to change your desires. You see, your desire before you came to Christ wasn't even for Christ. Christ went out, He wooed you to Himself. And now that He's wooed you to Himself, He wants you to desire Him above all other things. You see, in this world, if we're to be a blessing, in this world, if we're to be builders and not destroyers, in this world, if we're to lift up and not tear down, we need to have the right desires, because our desires will affect the people around us. People that desire to get to the top are willing to step over anybody, walk over anybody, gossip about anybody, do anything to anybody to get where they want to go. I know, I work in the company every day where the philosophy is, whoever I got to step on to get where I'm going, that's what I'll do. That's how it is in the business world. That's not how it should be in the church. In the church, it should be, how can I help someone else up? How can I get underneath and lift them up? How can I push someone higher, closer, nearer to Jesus? How can I be a blessing so that I can inherit a blessing, so that I can... The blessing of giving a blessing is the blessing. And so he says that we're to watch, guard our desires. We're to guard our words. We're to guard our walk. We're to guard our wants. These three areas of life are the very three areas of life where you and I are confronted day in and day out. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where life happens at this level, in this world, is in the way we talk, the way we walk, and the things we want. Some people want things so badly, they're willing to go murder for it. They're willing to go break in and steal it. They're willing to go... Someone would shoot you over $5 just to have that $5. We read about it all the time in the newspapers. Some people don't value human life more than they value money. They value money more than human life, and they'll do whatever it takes to get the money. They'll use money to get more money. They'll use people to get money. And rather than using money to bless people, they'll use people to get money. Nothing wrong with having money, but it's wrong to have the wrong attitude towards money. It's wrong to have the wrong attitude towards anything that becomes destructive, that makes you a destroyer. God has not called us to destroy, but God has called us to build. God has called us to edify. In a moment, one false word, one false accusation can rip through a group of people, and it can destroy a business. It can destroy a church. It can destroy an organization. We need to guard against that. You and I, as God's children, need to guard against that. You see, you and I, as God's children, if you're God's child, then this should be speaking to you. If you're not God's child this morning, then you need to be God's child. But some would say, well, we're all God's children. No, beloved, we're not all God's children. Only those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are God's children. Only those who have been born again into the kingdom of God are God's children. Those who have not put faith and trust in Jesus are not the children of God. But you and I, as God's children, are called to a different type of walk, a different type of talk, a different desire. You and I, as God's children, are called to be light and salt. And the only way we're going to be light and salt in a world that is languishing in pain and sorrow and in darkness is for us to become children of the light and to stop walking formerly as we did when we were children of the darkness. People around us are hurting. People around us are dying. People around us are crying. People around us are in sorrow and despair without hope. But you and I have hope, not only in this life, but we have hope that soon and very soon the trump of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. We're almost off of this planet, people. But the world around us, they're crying out. And you and I have the message, the only message. It's not old Buddha, and it's not Hare Krishna, and it's not Muhammad that's going to be sitting upon the throne, but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who died upon the cross and gave Himself that we might live. And that's the message the world needs to hear and to see. Not just to hear, but to see. Do they see that in your life? Is it reflected in your words? Is it reflected in your walk? Is it reflected in your wants? Are you being part of that wrecking crew? With that poem that I started with this morning, who's going around town, who's content with the labor of tearing down? Or are you one who is desiring to be a blessing and to receive a blessing, and the blessing is in being a blessing? And if that's your desire this morning, God will empower you to do that. You see, God doesn't ask us to do anything that He will not equip us and empower us to do. There's people around us that are dying, that are crying, that are hurting. And they may make fun of you because you're one of those people that doesn't curse. I don't know why it is that some men think that they have to curse in order to be macho. I see it in the workplace all the time. If they don't throw in an expletive here or there, a piece of foul language here or there, somehow they think that they're going to be considered sissies, weak. And they may mock you and they may laugh you like they do at me at work sometimes. You don't drink. You don't curse. What kind of man are you? You a man or a mouse? And they use an expletive. But I tell you, when someone's hurting, young man just came up to me on Thursday, came back to the back. I look straight in his eyes, asked him what's wrong. He starts crying, starts pouring out his heart to me. And he said, "Thank you for being available and approachable that I could share my heart with you." You see, he said, "There's a lot of guys around here. And yeah, we curse together and we foolishly jest together and we tell coarse jokes together. And I know I've made fun of you in the past, but you know what? I'm hurting. And I know you have something that I want and something that I don't have. It's reflected in your life." And that's not to exalt or to lift myself up, but that's just to say that as an example, when we go out in the world, if we will be different, if we will walk different, if we will act different, if we will talk different, and if we will desire the right thing, the godly thing, the good thing, the righteous thing, the upright thing, then God will use our lives not only to be a blessing, but the blessing is in being a blessing. And that's exciting to know that God loves us so. That God loves us so much. That He's willing to allow us to be a part of what He's doing, to be a blessing, to be just like Him. Where would we be had the Lord not been gracious and compassionate unto us? Where would we be if the Lord looked at our faults, looked at our sins, and gossiped about us, and was backbiting us constantly, and wasn't willing to be compassionate and merciful and gracious and kind to us? You and I would not be here today hearing from God's Word today. You and I would be probably, I know I would probably be in a grave dead on my way to a devil's hell, a hell that was created for the devil and his angels. You and I, brother and sister, we have a blessing that we have been called to inherit. But we were not only called to inherit the blessing for simply the sake of inheriting a blessing, but you and I were called to inherit a blessing so that we could be a blessing. So the next time you're tempted to lose your cool and then blame it on the devil, "The devil made me do it." Geraldine from Flip Wilson back in those days. You know, I'm giving my age away a little bit. No, the devil didn't make you do it. You and I as God's children have a choice every day that we have to make. We can choose the words we use. We can choose how we walk. We can choose what we desire because God has given us liberty in Christ to choose. Before we couldn't choose. Before we were slaves. Before we were slaves to sin. Before we were slaves to unrighteousness. Before we were slaves to ungodliness. Before we were slaves to all these things that keep us in its grip. But when Christ came and we called upon His name, He set us free. He gave us the spirit of liberty, whereby whom He has set free is free indeed. And we can sing, I am free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. For grace is God's emancipation proclamation that you and I are no longer slaves to sin. But we've been given freedom to talk differently, to walk differently, to desire, to want differently. And then why should we worry about all these things? Well, let's look at verse 12. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Did you know God is watching? And God is listening? God wants to bless His children. But when we as His children are disobedient, when we as His children are obstinate, when we as His children are refusing to do what God commands, God will discipline us as His children. The worst time for a kid to come and ask their parents for special privileges and that is when that kid is grounded because he did something that he got in trouble for. Last thing a parent wants to hear when you're grounded is, can I do this? Can I go there? Can I have this? Can I do that? Well, in a sense, I think sometimes God grounds us as His children. He puts us on time out, if you will, until we think about our lives, until we reflect on them, until we get things where they need to be and get things in right order. I'm not talking about a life of legalism. I'm not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about common sense, everyday living and conducting ourselves as God's children in this world. It has nothing to do with legalism. It has everything to do with love. For did not Jesus say, if you love me, you will obey my commandments? And my commandments are not grievous, but they're light. And His commandment is that we love Him, the Lord our God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, that we love each other as we love ourselves. True love is demonstrated not in simply words, but in action. That's why Paul had to write there to believers. Paul writes, he says, you know what? Don't love one another in word only, but in deed, in action. If you see someone hurting, go to them. Be a blessing to them. If you see someone that needs encouragement, go to them and encourage them. If you see someone that's crying, go to them and minister to them. Cry with those who cry. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's be the body of Christ. Let's be a body that comes together, that supports one another, that encourages one another. Let's be the people of God that He's called us to be, who demonstrate that we're His people because we speak the right words. I'm not talking about Christianity talk. I'm not talking about the hallelujah at the right time or the praise the Lord at the right time. But I'm talking about genuine, sincere, authentic, real love that flows from a heart that has been touched by a living God and a loving God being poured out and demonstrated to the people around us. Starting in your own homes. It's easy to love the people we don't live with. It's harder to love the people we're around all the time. In the back of a Scottish pew in a church was written this poem, and I've often quoted it. It says, someone I guess was bored with the service. I guess the preacher got long-winded. And they wrote, to dwell above with those we love, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, that's a different story. And ain't that the truth? It's easy to love the people that we don't spend a lot of time with, that we have the 5-minute handshake with or the 5-second talk with and greet the brother and sister in the Lord. God bless you, Brother Bruce. I do love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to lunch. See you later. But when it's someone in your own household, someone that's right next, maybe your wife, maybe your children, that's when it's hard.
I wish I could get up here and say it's never difficult. It's always easy. They're so loving. They're so great to be around. Sometimes they're not all that great to be around. And sometimes I'm not all that great to be around. Well, not sometimes, most of the time, I think, depending on who you ask. But let us ask the Lord this morning to give us the strength to be His children. You see, I want you to, for one moment, I want you to take a look around. Look around. Look at the people around you. Look at the people behind you. Those in this room who call themselves the children of God, they are your family. They are my family. And our job is not to be destroyers, but to be builders and edifiers, building up the body of Christ in love. Encouraging those. Find someone in here that maybe you've never talked to before. Go pray for them. Go encourage them. Go bless them. Be a blessing in their life. And vice versa. Church is not about coming and being, receiving a blessing. How can I be blessed today? Praise God, I'm going to church so I can be blessed. It's about, Lord, how can I be a blessing? How can I be light? How can I be salt there where I'm at with my brothers, with my sisters, with my family? This message is not an easy message to talk about because it's not a popular message. We don't like to hear, to be reminded, to feel like we're being scolded. That's how I felt when I was studying this, like the Lord was scolding me and saying, Steve, it's time to examine. Time to do a checkup from the neck up. Time to watch where the feet are going. Time to check your desires at the door. But I'll tell you how refreshing it is when we can come and we can come before the Lord with all honesty of heart and say, Lord, You see me just like I am because You're watching. And I know that You hear me, so I'm coming to talk to You this morning about the difficulties I'm having. Lord, that difficult person I've been dealing with, help me not to go around talking behind his back anymore, Lord, but let me come and just talk to You about it. Perhaps there's some here that have heard gossip in the last few months that just have been, it's got your head turning, your stomach turning. Some of it can be nauseating. Well, I want you to know today that it's time that you begin to pray for those people rather than continue the gossip. Put a stop to it. You don't have to go out of here and continue to gossip, continue to be backbiting, continue to walk and talk the way you used to walk and talk. Go out of here walking as children of God, letting your light so shine before men that they might see the glorious hope of the gospel, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when we do what God wants, He hears us, He sees us, and He watches out for us. But when we do contrary, He's against us. The Bible says He turns His face against us to frustrate us. We're His children, but He doesn't want us to continue going the wrong direction. So He corrects us. He'll put a stop, a roadblock in our way, and He'll help us to change directions. But we have to be willing to listen and willing to change and to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I agree with You. I haven't been walking the way I should be walking. I haven't been talking the way I should be talking. I haven't been desiring the things that I know I should be desiring. Like I said, this has nothing to do with legalism. Everything to do with grace. Why grace? Because grace enables us to accomplish what God has asked us to do, which is to be His children, to inherit that blessing and to be a blessing. To be builders and not destroyers in our walk, in our words, in our wants. Everybody bow your head. I've been talking this morning about God's children. To God's children. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not God's child today. But I want to give you opportunity to become God's child today. I want to give you the opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a part of your family. So that you too can look around this room and see a family that God is providing for you. Maybe you don't have any parents. Maybe you don't have any siblings. Maybe through whatever reason they're not in your life anymore. And maybe you've been lonely and you've been wanting a family. You've been wanting to be a part of a family. Well, this morning God invites you to be a part of His family. And He's provided the entrance into His family by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He loves you so much and desires so much for you to be a part of His family that He gave His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. He shed His blood so that you could have entrance into the family of God, so that you could be born again into His family. So I want to give anyone an opportunity who is not a child of God this morning, who has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want to give you opportunity to get to know Jesus this morning. What I want you to do, if you're here and you would like Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you would like to be a part of God's family, I would like for you to just raise your hand up, and I want to lead you in a prayer this morning so that we can pray for that and pray and allow you to be a part of this family. We'd love for you to be a part of our family. While AJ's playing softly, I'm going to give you a moment. This morning, just examine your hearts this morning and just allow the Lord to speak to you wherever it is that He needs to speak to you. Maybe when you leave here this morning, there's someone you need to call up and you need to make things right with them. Maybe there's someone today that you need to forgive. Maybe a friend that hurt you badly. Maybe a parent that abused you. Maybe it was somebody that stabbed you in the back. Make it your goal, make it your aim this week to be a builder. To build those broken relationships, to build those broken dreams with others that maybe have hurt you. And maybe you're the one who's hurt someone else. But I want to encourage you today. Maybe you need to call up that person and you need to tell them, hey, I'm sorry. Let God heal those relationships. Let God bring healing to His body this morning. We are His body, and if one hurts, we all hurt. My encouragement for you today is that you would go out, that you would allow your life to be a blessing and the light of Jesus to shine brightly through you. Let's all stand.